Blog Talk Radio.
Short time ago, the New York Rangers, Minnesota Wild, the NHL, and the Bougard family lost a dear friend. A beloved teammate, a son, and a brother. He wore 24 in your program, he wore 94 in ours. And he was without a doubt number one in our hearts. Joining us today, to make our selection in honor of his brother Derek, please welcome a 2004 draft pick of the Minnesota Wild, Aaron Bougard.
Thank you. New York Rangers proudly select from the U.S. development team, JT Miller.
From the National Team Development Program of Team USA, JT Miller goes 15th overall to the New York Rangers, who five.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Blue Shirt Banner Radio, Saturday night draft recap special. My name's Jim. Eddie will be along with us later, probably not till about 10:30 or so. He had a previous engagement, but he wanted to join us, so we moved the show a little later so he could be here later on. And Jess Rubenstein, of course, is going to join us from the Prospect Park. He will be here in probably about 45 minutes or so. We'll get the skinny on all the Rangers draft picks. There you heard the selection of JT or Jonathan Miller. I prefer JT. Just think it sounds more badass, if you will. Jonathan Miller from the U.S. developmental team. And pretty much, I have to be honest, I hadn't really even heard his name until a minute before he was picked. And one of the bozos on TSN said, the Rangers have looked at JT Miller and they kind of like him. And I thought, okay, this is the guy they're going to pick because he's the guy I've never heard of. So I wasn't as well-versed in draft prospects as I had been in the previous years because I wasn't going to the draft, so I just didn't do as much work on it. But there you have it. That's their first-round pick. Classy move by the Rangers, bringing Derek Bougard's brother in to make the pick, which was a nice touch. A few little bitches and gripes about the draft yesterday that really had very little to do with draft picks, but we could talk about those later with Eddie or in a future show. We'll talk about those later. Phone calls, 646-478-4692, the usual number. Chat room is full. Good evening to all of you. 113 degrees here in Mesa, Arizona today, and basically stayed in the house most of the day watching all kinds of stuff. I watched the draft for a while, flipped back and forth between it. Obviously, the Rangers, after that first pick, weren't supposed to have a pick until the fourth round, but they went ahead and traded Evgeny Grachev, much to Eddie's chagrin. He didn't know until I spoke to him late this afternoon. He didn't know that Grachev had been traded. He'd been out all day. He hadn't been on the computer. And needless to say, he wasn't too happy about it. Hopefully, we'll get his thoughts on that when he comes in later. So if you guys want to call in, again, the number is 646-478-4692. Jess will be here in a little while. If you guys want to call in with questions for Jess, by all means, we'll get you guys on, and you can ask Jess whatever you want. We'll run down the picks real quick. Again, Jonathan Miller, JT Miller, was the first round pick, number 15 overall. He's from the U.S. developmental team, and in the third round with the pick the Rangers acquired for Evgeny Grachev, they picked up Stephen Fogarty. And if you guys know anything about this show and what we do, you know we're going to have a lot of fun with the name Fogarty over the next, well, however many years this guy's involved with the Rangers. Fogarty is a guy from Minnesota High School, I believe. He's out of high school. He went to, Edina High or Edina High, whatever you call it, in Minnesota. And then in the fourth round, they grabbed Michael St. Croix, another center, 5'10". He's from the WHL. And then in the fifth round, Shane McColgan is a right winger, a small guy. Of course, when Eddie heard that, he was very excited. The lollipop guild continues, as he put it. 5'8", 165 pounds from the WHL. And after drafting four forwards in a row, the Rangers went defense in the last two rounds, picking up Samuel Noreau from Quebec Juniors, and then Peter Sereznak, a defenseman from Slovakia. So we'll talk to Jess about all those guys. And I'm just checking out the chat room just to see who. We got a lot of people here tonight, a lot of guests. Guests, if you want to sign it, all you got to do is register with Blog Talk Radio. You can join in the conversation in the chat room. It's free to join. Spoon on the Moon is here all the way from the UK. He said it's 2 o'clock in the morning over there, and he's wide awake, excited to listen to the show. Stan from Bayside's here. Mr. French, Maddie Caps. We haven't seen Maddie in a couple weeks, I don't think. John Grossman's here. Jack Love, the great Howie Sussman. Like I said, a few billion guests. Chia Crack is here. BTW8892, Mr. News Desk over at Blue Shirt Banner. He's the one who manages to get all this, get all the news up there for us, and then we just bump him right to the front page with it. Bill Maher is here. So good evening to all you guys. We appreciate you hanging out with us on Saturday night. And, yeah, I said you were here, Howie. I mentioned you. I didn't forget you. Rocco Sansone is here. Ryan Laurel. Moishe is here. Haven't seen Moishe in a while. Kiz Hagen is here. He was here the other night, but I didn't see him chatting because we had a lot of problems with spammers the other night. And then I saw him pop in there, and I was wondering if he was another spammer. But I was keeping my eye out to see if he was chatting. So I don't know if I'll keep an eye out. It always worries me when I see new names now. We had a lot of spammers the other night in the chat room, and we had a lot of ridiculous phone calls. If you listen to the show, you know what I was talking about. We had people just goofing around with soundboards, and it wasn't even funny. You know, I don't care if people want to prank the show. I really don't. To me, it's kind of a way of saying, hey, you've made it. You're important enough now that we're going to prank your show. Okay, and on cue, I see this idiot has arrived in the chat room, and he's gone. So anyway, but at least be funny, you know. Like, you know, if you're a frequent listener to the Howard Stern Show and you hear Sal and Richard call up these trading shows that I guess are on the internet, and it's always funny, you know, that's funny. Don't just call up and play stupid, like, you know, sound clips and stuff like that. So I'm not pissed. I would think it'd be funny. If somebody could be funny and be original, and the spammers are back. They're on the switchboard. You don't know how many times I had to disconnect people the other night on the switchboard. I gave everybody like one chance, and then when I realized who they were, they just kept popping up, and I just kept deleting them. One of them is back. So I don't know if he's an Islander fan or a Flyers fan, maybe, since we talked about the Flyers the other night quite a bit. You know, maybe he's just a Flyer fan looking for attention, but we'll take him right off the switchboard. So he's gone. And I'm sure he'll call back several times because he has nothing better to do. And if you've got nothing better to do than prank an internet radio show on a Saturday night, I really feel bad for you. It's one thing to be listening to an internet radio show on a Saturday night, but if you've got nothing better to do than prank said radio show, then you've really got it. I mean, you've really got to reevaluate your life at that point. Either your PS3 is broken, your Netflix is down. There's got to be something better to do on a Saturday night. And this guy's back again. How are you back when I booted you? All right, I got rid of Dat Foxy again. I don't know how he even got in here because I booted him. Let's see. Let me see if I can. All right, so he's gone. If he comes back, I'll keep an eye on the chat room as best as I can, guys. Not always easy to do, especially with Eddie not here tonight, at least for a while. So I'll do the best I can. Why don't we go? Let's go right to the phones, and we'll bring Mark up first. Mark's been on hold the longest. Mark, good evening. Welcome to the program. How are you?
I'm doing really good. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I never like flying solo on this show, but that's okay. Jess will be here in a little while, so keep me
going. Oh, okay. Yeah, I was hoping to hear like what Jess had to say and maybe like respond to that, but that's okay. That's okay.
Oh, I could put you back on hold.
No, I read Jess's stuff on Facebook and you know, his stuff all the time, so that's fine.
I mean, if you don't want to talk to me, you want to talk to Jess. I understand.
No, that's fine.
I mean, okay. So, you know, I guess I could have even said this before I put you on, but I saw, you know, naturally the mindset of a Ranger fan, mm-hmm. because they didn't draft the name pick yesterday, the pick that everybody had, you know, whether it be Armia or mm-hmm. McNeil. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just like last year, this guy can't be any good because they've never heard of him. And, you know, a lot of Ranger fans right away, this sucks. What are they doing? Another mistake.
Well, it's not like there was no OV or Crosby. There was no, like, big-name guy, period. So I don't know how much we really blew it. You know what I mean?
Right. And the things, you know, the thing you have to look at, you know, if you listen to this show, you heard Leslie Truck 2 weeks ago tell us that once you got past the first five guys, the first five picks, it was a crapshoot. Third-line guys, fourth-line guys, whatever. And you were just going to have to hope to find a diamond in the rough.
Right,
and that's what and that's what the Rangers are hoping to
do. And we're actually pretty good at that when you think about it, with Callie and Doobie and Lundqvist. I mean, you know, that's we have a skill about finding those guys in later rounds. So
in some cases, I'm a little concerned, and I'm going to get into that with Jess a little bit. I'm a little concerned that two of their top draft picks from the last 3 or 4 years have now been traded away.
When did the whole Grabchev thing happen? That's news to me. I didn't even hear that.
They traded Grabchev.
For the
third to the Blues to get a third round pick, which they selected Stephen Fogarty, and so that was the move. Apparently, according to Glenn Sather, who came down from the hilltop and spoke to the Commoners today, Grotchev had been asking for a trade for a year.
I didn't know he
fit into the Rangers system, and okay, I get that he wasn't drafted under this current regime, so this wasn't a. It was a different system that was.
Wait, Jim. So you're saying he was drafted more than 10 years ago?
Well,
I'm serious.
No, I mean,
is that what you meant? I'm serious. Is that what you meant?
I meant he wasn't drafted. He was drafted pre Tortorella.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
He was pre Tortorella. This hard forechecking, whatever system this is.
But we talked about that all last year. If they just, basically clone 20 guys to be the same, we're just going to be, predictable, and it's a problem. You have to have, the St. Louis, or even Gavrik with somebody good. You have to have a line that is a finesse line and not force those guys to have to be a grinding line. I don't understand this. Do you know what I mean? It's like, I love the fact that we're hardworking and all that stuff, but you can't just keep building and building an organization about one type of player. That's just, unless it's Messier, unless it's some superstar. But even that, you have to have the black aces of the world, and then you have to have superstars. It's just, I don't get it. It's like, it's like having kids, every kid's the same. George Foreman, whatever.
Well, to go back, if Sather's telling the truth about Grotchev asking for a trade for a year, and the cynic in me, I'm not saying I think he's lying. Mm-hmm. I think there may be it wouldn't surprise me if that wasn't necessarily the truth. But anyway, if Grotchev has been looking for out for a year, then obviously he's not happy. He's not going to give his all. We've all been in a job that we hate,
right?
He wasn't that
impressive when he came up. To be honest, I wasn't really overly impressed with him. But anyway, I don't know.
So, I don't understand why I'm booting people from the chat room and they're coming
It's okay.
I'm just trying to. It used to be that when I kicked somebody out of the chat room, they could not come back.
Blocking on Facebook or something. Yeah, it shouldn't be.
Yeah. But for some reason, people are finding their way back in. All right. So anyway, so who knows, if he probably didn't give his all for the last year. And, supposedly the Rangers had tried. Glenn Sather said that Grotchev asked for a trade a year ago. He'd been trying for a year to move Grotchev. And St. Louis was the first taker. I'm not sure if I believe that either. That just seems
right.
just sounds a little strange to me. That if Grotchev asked for a trade a year ago, that puts you back to last June, and you're going to tell me that until the third round of the 2011 draft, he couldn't get anybody to take Grotchev in any deal.
That's a good point.
It's all more BS from the Kremlin.
It just seems fishy.
Anyway, it is what it is. Evgeny Grotchev, the Russian rifleman, the Russian battleship, all those little nicknames that he has for him, has been traded.
Jim, what round was he picked in for us?
I didn't go back. Look, I think he was a second round pick. When I talked to Eddie about it, Eddie thought he was a third round pick. I'm sure the guy in the chat room will have it in a minute. They'll tell me.
Okay.
And hold on, we've got more spammers here.
Are you the only one in the studio? You have to, like, do everything?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That sucks.
I'm working the whole thing. So, anyway.
Okay.
I'm booting the spammers as fast as I can, guys, so bear with me.
Yes. Oh, my God.
Unfortunately, what I wish this chat room would allow is for me to give someone in the chat room moderator privileges.
Oh, so that, yeah. That's right. You can delegate it.
But it doesn't allow for that, so I'm on my own. Flying solo. Anyway.
Okay. That's right.
So yeah. So that's the scoop with Grachev. And like I said, in his place is Stephen Bad Moon Rising Fogarty.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you know, here's the quote from Glenn. Frankly, I'd shopped Grachev around for over a year. Really, the only team that seemed to have interest was St. Louis. They'd seen him in Traverse City, and they liked him. It just seemed like it wasn't going to be a fit for us in New York, so it was better to move him for a real good prospect, and we'd hung on to him, and he'd had a, and if we'd hung on to him and he had a poor year this year, there wasn't going to be a lot of value.
Yeah. Well, I agree with that.
If we decided to do something earlier rather than later, he may still turn out, just needs a fresh start.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
So, and they really
liked
Stephen Fogarty, wanted to grab him in the third round, so that was the deal.
What's the deal with him? What is Fogarty's claim to fame or whatever?
He was in a band, Creedence Clearwater Revival.
Yeah, but it's center field, not center ice.
plays a physical brand of hockey. Now, this is just from Minnesota Hockey Project.
Right.
Plays a physical brand of hockey, grinding it out on the boards and getting dirty in front of the net.
Mm-hmm.
Bullies his way around the ice, excelling at playing a power game. Has the ability to finish in tight and pick up his fair share of garbage goals. Has pretty good hands for a big guy and can stick handle with the best of them. Passing could use a bit more touch, but this is not a glaring weakness. Does not have elite speed, but is a mule on his skates.
Oh, that sounds pretty good. That does sound pretty good.
This is from Bruins Draft Watch.
Okay.
There is a lot to like about this playmaking pivot who has a long stride and gets up the ice quickly.
Mm-hmm.
He has soft hands and superb vision for finding teammates in open ice. His work ethic is laudable. He wants to play and loves to compete, goes above and beyond to make himself better and put himself in situations that will put him in position to improve.
Cool.
He's raw and needs significant work, but will spend the entire 2011-2012 season in the USHL. At 6'1", 195, he's got the physical tools to be a solid NHL prospect, and watch for him to go relatively high third, fourth rounds in the draft. So,
okay. Wow.
There you go.
What's his stats like? I mean, as far as height and weight, how big is he? How tall is he?
6'1", 195, according to this.
Oh, all right. That's good. Okay. Yeah. That sounds pretty promising on paper, at least. That's good.
Actually, listed at 6'2", 194 on the NHL website.
And
let me see.
And is he a center or a winger?
He's a center.
Okay.
And he had 23 goals and 17 assists in 24 games for Edina High School.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So. And
can you clarify, what is the U.S. hockey development thing or whatever where JT came from? What is that?
You know, I can't give you the exact description on it, but I was going to ask. That's going to be one of my first questions for JT.
Oh, good. Okay, good. Okay.
So.
That's it.
So, cool. There you have it.
The only other thing I wanted to say, I definitely appreciated the fact that Aaron came up and spoke before the pick. That was really cool. But you know what was really creepy? I mean, Derek wears number 94, you know, which kind of creeped me out. And then the draft is in Minnesota. I mean, what are the odds of that? I was like, I don't know. I'm creeped out by stuff like that. It's really weird.
Yeah.
What I mean? It was just strange. But anyway, okay. Well, that's it. So thank you very much, Jim. I appreciate it. Have a good show.
All right. If you're going to hang around and you want to call back in when Jess is here, by all means.
Oh, thank you. Oh, I appreciate that. I will do that then.
Sure.
Okay.
Okay.
Can I just stay on hold? Can I just leave it and be on hold?
I could do that.
Yeah, that would be great. Okay, I'll just do that.
All right, talk to you in a bit.
Thank you very much. Yep, bye-bye.
All right, so let's put Mark back on hold here, if it'll let me do that. Okay, there we go. And let's bring on, what's up, Newman?
Here.
Who's this?
Who's this?
Hello?
Who's
this? Is this Claude?
Yeah.
What's up?
I'm drunk as fuck right now, man.
Yeah, you're having quite the party. The Steamboat's playing, right?
Who's this?
It's Jim.
Jim Bob.
Jim. Hey, Jimmy, how are you, man?
Doing good, Claude. What's going on?
All right, baby. I'm all right.
Wait, I gotta get on the
I'm over here with John Newman and his lovely fiance.
Not fiance yet,
but you know what I mean.
She ain't marrying him. She's in love with me.
They're in love, man. They're gonna get married and shit. They're gonna do the whole thing, a whole nine yards, baby. They're gonna go all the way, man.
So it sounds like your party is a successful one.
Oh, awesome! We're having a great time. All the Ranger fans are here. We're just having a great time here. Costas, the crazy Greek, is here. Being crazy as ever.
Half our chat room.
Huh?
Half our chat room's at your barbecue.
I just heard barbecue. That's it. Yeah, we had a good one. Yeah.
I said half our chat room's at your barbecue.
Yes, that's right. Half the chat room's in the barbecue, and we're having a good old time.
We're going to pass the phone around.
And we're going to pass the phone around at your request. Like I said, I am definitely inebriated, so please forgive me.
Actually, I think our guest is here, so I'm going to let you guys go.
Okay, whatever you want to do, baby.
All right.
For you,
thanks
man.
For calling in.
Okay, baby. You're the best.
Still on the phone.
Take it easy.
All right.
All right, well, our guest isn't here yet. I just I'm not going to let them pass the phone around the barbecue. I think we have other things to talk about than that. So let's see who we got on hold here. 718-225, you're on Blue Shirt Banner Radio. Who's this?
It must be Stan.
Hey, Stan, how are you?
Doing well.
Good.
It was quite a cold we just had there.
Yeah, they're having quite the party out of Claude Neva's house.
Anyhow,
my invitation was lost.
Yeah, lost in the mail.
So anyway, give us your thoughts on the. I mean, obviously, you can't grade this draft for 5 years, but
right.
What did you think about them getting rid of Grachev today?
Look, I mean, obviously there are reasons. We don't know what the real deal is. I mean, say there has his reasons, but they did it and. Look, this is a Minnesota high school kid. He's not going to be heard from for 4 or 5 years, so
right.
Let's see how things turn out with him.
Right.
That's about it. Obviously, the Miller pick. It's funny. My kid called me. He was working at ESPN, so he calls to get the lowdown on Miller because he knows I know everything. So I'm telling him about him. And
you're
I said,
the dad.
You know,
you're supposed to know everything.
Yeah. So I said, reading about this guy, he sounds like he's a clone of Dubinsky. And then I see today's paper, and your pal Larry Brooks says that this guy is just like Dubinsky.
Right. He's just in that mold.
Yeah, he's the same size and appears to be, works the boards and stuff. He's all over the boards as far as the scouts go. He was as high as number 9 with the red light report, and yet he was central scout. He had 23. Hockey News had but 59. His stats aren't anything great, from what I gathered. He led the U.S. team at the under 18 tournament in scoring. He had like a huge tournament. That must have been what really caught the attention of Gordy Clark, because like I said, his seasonal stats weren't good. So, and it's funny, I got this publication. About a month ago, and if anybody is really into the draft and stuff, it's hockeyprospect.com. It's like a 200-page book, and they give a real in-depth scouting analysis of everybody. They had this guy rated 35, but there's a quote in here. They said, "This is a prospect that can make scouts lose their jobs." So you really have to hope that Gordy did his homework on this guy, and he turns out to be something.
You just reminded me when you said that. I got Jeff Angus from Dauber Hockey sent me their prospect report, and I meant to have it pulled up for the show, and I should see where they had him ranked. Let's see. Well, they don't even have.
Yeah, this book was great. It was $22, but if you're into this stuff, it's worth it.
Reports
on these players are just like from the scouts with notepads, they go into every little detail of these guys, so it's really good. And again, you know, we won't know about this kid for a few years. Now he's going to North Dakota, and they're on TV a lot, and he'll probably make the junior team. So we get a chance to see him probably half a dozen times next year, and you know, be able to see how he looks. Other than that, you know, you'll know in a few years.
Yep. You know, like you said, you know, at least 3-4 years, we'll see. And I don't even see this guy in this prospects report. I don't even see Miller listed in here. I don't have time. It's 161 pages, but when I did a scan, his name never came up. So
the St. Croix kid is actually rated higher, or you know, comparable to him. So we'll see how he turns out. He's smaller.
Yeah, I saw some good things about him when they drafted him. Just some blurbs here and there. So sounds like that might be, you know, maybe that's the you know, maybe the diamond in the rough they look for in the lower rounds. You know, like they did last year and the year before with the goaltender they picked that they're very high on, and last year with Andrew Yogan, who they're very high on. So, other than that, well, I'm anxious to hear what Jess has to say, because he had some good things to say about Miller, and he had a few not so good things to say. And you know, Russ Cohen just said it was risky, but you know, what pick isn't, you know, in most cases, unless you have a top three or top four pick, you know, chances are you're taking some kind of risk. So
you know,
we'll see. That should be along at about 15 minutes.
This guy, you know, he hadn't been mentioned at all. Like you said, I thought McNeil was going to be their guy, or even the guy who went after them, Armia. But
right.
Just when the Rangers were coming up to make the announcement, I think it must have been Bob McKenzie said, I think they might go for JT Miller here, which was, and like 10 seconds later they picked him. So they must have given him a heads up, because
I don't think
he just came out of that from the blue.
Well, I said at the top of the show, I don't know if you were here, I said that was the first time I'd ever heard of him. Was when they said right before the pick, the Rangers have had their eye on JT Miller.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know. That was, and he was one of the guys that we didn't preview on Blue Shirt Banners. So, you know, it caught us off guard, like they have in years past.
Like I said, just keep faith in Gordy Clark.
Yeah.
That's what he's doing. Well, he knows what he's doing. But even so, you know, you can strike out no matter who you are.
Of course, sure.
That's it.
All right, Stan.
Very good.
All right, we'll talk to you next time.
All right, take care.
You too. Bye. All right, the great Stan from Bayside. Again, Jess Rubenstein from the Prospect Park should be along in about 15 minutes or so. We'll talk to him. Hopefully, Eddie will be here for the later in the second half of the show. And we'll take your phone calls, 646-478-4692. And if you guys want to get on, I think we'll have... I'm pretty sure Jess will take some phone calls. He was pretty open to just coming on the show and hanging out. So he should be with us for a while. And we'll take another phone call, 631-974. You're on Blue Shirt Banner Radio. Who's this?
Hey, it's me. It's Goldstar. What's up?
Hey, what's up?
I'm at the party. I'm at the barbecue hanging out.
How is the barbecue?
That was good.
Going well.
It's good.
From talking to Claude, I'm guessing it's going pretty well.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, a lot of people here, a lot of familiar faces.
Yeah.
This pick, you know, I would have preferred Joe Armia or Mark McNeil or someone like that, but I guess Gordy Clark knows what he's doing, so I'm just hoping for the best.
Right.
I'm Grotchev, you know, goodbye, get out of here, you bum.
He's a bum?
Bum.
Mitch Beck was right, huh?
Yeah. He's a bum. And I'm sure Mr. Geik ain't going to be too happy about that.
No, he wasn't when I told him. He didn't know until I called him and told him.
Yeah. The St. Croix guy, you know, yeah, he was ranked pretty high in... Because I get them every year. I get the Hockey News the prospect, the draft and preview issue. So I kind of get an idea of what's in the draft. So this guy was ranked pretty good, pretty high. This St. Croix guy. So, but a lot of these guys they're a long ways away from, you know, at least even cracking the A. So who knows.
Right. I mean, it takes, you know, it's not like football, you know,
yeah.
where you can evaluate a draft almost immediately, or you know, within a couple of months or a year or whatever. You know, hockey, it takes 5 years for a draft to bear out in most cases, you know.
Hey, what are you doing October 15th?
Is this a trick question?
No. Rangers Islanders at the Coliseum.
Oh, okay.
And it's a Saturday. We're already planning, it's only June, and we're already planning for everybody to come get tickets for the game.
That's the unofficial Rangers home opener.
Yeah, exactly, yep.
Now, are you guys sure you want to go to that? Because last year you guys went to that.
And we lost.
And you lost. And I'm a superstitious guy. I don't know if I want you people there again. Maybe you ought to stay away.
Yeah, but the funny thing, that game wasn't sold out. The game was only had like 11,000. This game should sell out because it's a Saturday.
Right.
So that's
you know, actually,
much...
I think that same day is that Saturday. As a matter of fact, that's the Coyotes home opener. And I think my Ranger brethren out here and I are going to go to that because it's against Winnipeg.
Really?
Yeah, their home opener is against Winnipeg, which to me it should have been the other way around. But
let me tell you something. That team's going to get booed out of the building when they come to Winnipeg.
Oh,
that team's going to they're going to rip apart. But. I'm happy they went with the Jets. That was the only logical thing to do. Call the team the Jets, you know.
I would have been all right with another name. They're not to me, you know. To me, the Jets in their history went to Phoenix, you know. So I didn't.
Yeah. The team they were a great WHA team, but they weren't that good of an NHL team.
Right. Didn't they win 9 games in one season, 1 year or something?
I think
1980
so.
Or 81, they won 9 games.
Yeah, that was probably their first year in the NHL after the WHA folded.
Right.
So all right.
Say hello to everybody and tell them that I'm sorry I had to cut them off. I thought Jess was here, but he wasn't. So that's why.
All right, man. I'll see you next time.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye. See how I bought my way out of that by telling him to tell everybody that I thought Jess was on the line and he wasn't? I'm good like that. Anyway, all right. We're just a few minutes away from Jess Rubenstein from the Prospect Park. You guys want to call in again? The number is 646-478-4692. And we'll talk about, like I said, Glenn Sather, he always comes out after my experience the last 2 years at the draft, he comes out usually after the fourth or fifth round pick or so. He comes down from the mountain and he talks to the commoners, and that's pretty much the media's opportunity to get in every question they possibly can with Glenn, because there's a good chance it's the only time they'll talk to him all year long. I think you guys all know by now that he doesn't talk to the media that much, because I don't think he wants to talk to the media very much, and PR doesn't want him to talk to the media very much because he says, well, let's face it, he says some dumb things. I think you've heard some of them on this program. But he did come down, and he brought the tablets with him, and of course, he was asked about Chris Drury, and he told the media, I haven't spoken to him for a while. I assume he feels fine. So then if he feels fine, why is there all this talk that they can't buy him out? Because he's injured. So, I mean, you see why he doesn't talk to the media very often? When he was asked on whether he is considering a buyout, I am not going to tell you anything about that until the time comes. About anything. That was his exact quote. According to Jesse Spector, this would seem to indicate that the Rangers would still like to buy out the final year of Drury's contract if they can't, and would have to wait to put the captain on long-term injured reserve to get out from under his $7.5 million cap hit, so be it. On trading Evgeny Grachev, he felt that he just felt that he wasn't fitting in with our system. He's been with us for 3 years now, 2 years in Hartford. We liked him. We just feel that the person we got in the trade is going to be able to respond a little bit quicker. Sometimes guys get trapped in that situation where they don't think they can go anywhere, and you're better off going. They really like Fogarty, so we made a deal to get him. So, you know, it just seems strange to me for a couple of reasons. Again, this is a high-round draft pick that they've given up on. You know, the second one in just a couple of weeks, along with Ethan Werrick. Or not a couple of weeks, but a little longer than that. Second high draft pick that they've given up on. And this is a guy that a year ago they were telling us he's ahead of schedule developing. You know, he's on track for the NHL, the whole bit. So, you know, this is why I don't believe anything the man says. I really don't. And I'm not saying that I thought that I saw anything out of Evgeny Grachev that made me think he was going to be, you know, the next Ovechkin or anything like that. But, you know, it just seems like it's all from one day to the next. One day this guy is great and this is our future, and the next day he's traded to Phoenix or St. Louis. It just makes no sense. I just feel like you're never getting a straight answer out of this organization. It's all deception, Kansas City shuffle, sleight of hand, tomfoolery, chicanery, whatever you want to call it. So, looks like we got another call on hold. We'll get to you in just a second. Let me just finish reading these Sater quotes. I think that was it. Actually, we can get to that a little later. Maybe when Eddie gets here, we'll talk about it. I see Jess has popped online. So let's welcome to the program Jess Rubenstein from the Prospect Park. Jess, good evening. How are you tonight? Let's try that again. Where are you, Jess? Hang on. Switchboard just froze on me. The new switchboard froze, which makes it no better than the old switchboard. Hold on. Talk amongst yourselves. I got nothing. Awesome. Hang on, Jess. I'm trying to get to you there. Waiting on the switchboard, which, there we go. All right. It has refreshed. There's Jess. Let's see if we can bring him on. Jess, are you there? Nope. It's not working. Hang on, Jess. Try one other thing. We'll close that out. We'll open up a new switchboard. Thanks a lot, Blog Talk, as usual. Tremendous job, people. Just wonderful. You know what? We're going to go to the old switchboard. We won't even use the new one. We'll go to the old one here. Okay. So now there is a problem with Blog Talks. Jim is the man. Poor guy is all alone. Don't worry about me. I'll be fine. So here we go. All right. Now we have the switchboard back. And Jess, are you there? Jess? Now see, it says I have Jess on the air, but he's not responding to me.
Can you hear me?
There you are. Do you have your microphone muted?
No.
Okay. All right.
I went and picked up my cell phone, and that's when...
Oh, okay. Well, after all of that, I apologize for...
This is my first Skype call, so it's probably me too.
No problem. So anyway, how are you? Good to have you back. Feeling better? You getting coming around?
Well, I finally got the go-ahead. I passed all my physical therapy tests. I just have one last appointment, and I want to thank everybody. You know, y'all carried me through this... It's great to discover how many friends I have out there. It really means a lot to me.
Well, we're all glad you're feeling better, and we certainly appreciate you coming on with us tonight to talk about the Rangers and what they did yesterday and today in the draft. So why don't we start at the beginning, and we'll start with we're going to start with obviously with JT Miller, but actually you. First, answer a question for us.
Okay.
Can you explain to everyone, myself included, exactly what this U.S. development developmental. Is that what it's called?
It's the United States Hockey National Training and Development Program. It was set up in 1996 to help American-born players reach elite status. It has produced, and I mean it has produced, Derek Stepan, Chris Kreider, any top U.S. player now has gone through that. It's located in Ann Arbor, Michigan. They bring kids in. They go to school there. There's a team that plays in the United States Hockey League. That's Team USA. J.T. Miller has played on the under-17 team and the under-18 team, and he's been invited to attend the summer evaluation camp for the World Junior team. It's a great program.
Okay. Well, thank you for clearing that up, because Mark had called in a little while ago and asked me exactly what it was, and I said, look, I'm not going to lie to you. I don't really know. So, but I know Jess will know.
You know what? It's basically the United States made a decision back in 96 to build a program, and it's paid off. I mean, our under-18 team the last 3 years has won gold medal of the world, and we've got a gold at the under-20, and we're now a serious contender in these world championships. So it's money well spent.
Well, good. We like it when our government spends money well.
Yeah, this is actually money that's coming from the National Hockey League, and basically partners and sponsors into it. The basic idea is also to help, you know, build a program for kids who want to go on to college. It gives the kids, you know, another option instead of having to go up to Canada and play the junior league. It gives you the kind of training that you need so you can go to the NCAA and get your education. So
So what level would you equivocate this team to? Is it on level with the OHL, with the WHL?
I'd say the gap is closing. It's closing really fast because several players from the program have actually gone directly to an OHL team and fit in perfectly. It gives American kids an option. I mean, if you're a kid like Bork was or Kreider, you have to go to the Quebec League if you want to play Canadian Junior, because they break it down territorially. So a kid like J.T. Miller, his rights, they belong to the Plymouth Whalers. And, you know, you have no control. You're drafted. But the training development program says to an American kid, go through our program, earn a college scholarship, and you pick where you're going to go.
Interesting. Okay, so let's start. We'll start at the beginning. J.T. Miller, why don't you tell us what's to like about J.T. Miller? We'll start there.
Well, you know, we got to do with Gordy Clark. Every year, he's done it to us. I mean, he gets every single one of us to talk about this player, talk about that player, and 4 straight years, he picks a kid that nobody was talking about. Miller is talent-wise, skill-wise, skill set-wise, I would say he's on the same par as Tyler Biggs, Mark McNeil, who Ranger fans wanted. Heck, I wanted. And there's really not much difference between the two. He's not afraid to take a hit. He's not afraid to make a play. And he's not going to back down from anybody. He's a great one-on-one player with a first step that's explosive. And, you know, the kid's a winner. He's got gold with the under-17 team at the Challenge. And then he got a gold this year in the under-18 team. So it's hard not to like a kid, especially one that's going to go to North Dakota.
Right, right. Because they have turned out some really good hockey players. I think Patrick Sharp, didn't he go to
Patrick
North Dakota?
Sharp. I mean, the list there, I mean, North Dakota was the team that lost the NC2A championship game this year. They were, like, unbelievably hot in the second half. And one thing's for sure, Miller, I'll tell you what, he says he needs to work on his conditioning. Oh, man, that's his weak point, the conditioning. He's got to get himself into better shape. He's He doesn't always seem to be, I don't know, I don't want to use.
He's 6'1", 189 pounds. I should be so out of shape.
Well, you know, I'll tell you what. There's one thing about John Tortorella I love is that at that first day of prospect camp, when he sends those kids out on that, shall we say, trot, you know.
Right.
And that's basically kind of like the first day of boot camp in the military. He's going to find out just what he's got to do. And it's a good way. It's a good learning lesson for Miller, because by the time Friday comes along and the camp breaks up, he's going to have a nutritional guide to follow and a workout guide to follow. And if he follows this, and this is geared for JT Miller and nobody else, if he follows this program, he's going to get a better shape body conditioning, and it will help further his development. The one thing that's bothering me, and I hate doing this to a kid because I didn't talk directly to him, but I heard his comments during the post draft interview, and he's talking about, "Oh, I'm going to go to North Dakota for a year and maybe turn pro." I don't like that idea. If he wants to come to the pros after 1 year, don't go to North Dakota. Go play for Plymouth, because you'll play twice as many games. You'll get adjusted to the, I'd say, length of schedule. And because he came over, he'd be going into the OHL via the Rangers. He can go play for the Wolfpack or Whale, whatever they're called this day, next year.
Mm-hmm.
But going to college for 1 year and turning pro, I'm sorry. Every time somebody has done that, they wound up spending 2 years in the American Hockey League. And so the Rangers basically would be throwing money away, because your entry-level contract is 3 years. So by the time he's ready, the Rangers are going to have to make a decision on a short-term look, whether he's ready or not. And that's not fair to the Rangers, and it's not fair to the fans. And you want to know what? In the bottom line, it's not fair to JT Miller. You just think about it, kid.
Yeah, stay in school. Do it like Kreider. You know, the Rangers will be there when you're done school. You know?
Yeah. I'll tell you what, the kid I do like is Fogarty.
Okay, well, tell us about him, because the Rangers, you know, they didn't have a third round pick, so the Evgeny Grachev experiment has officially come to an end, much to Eddie's chagrin. the Russian rifleman, the Russian battleship, as Eddie would call him, and he's been traded, and this was a guy the Rangers wanted, so they made the deal for the pick to get him. So tell us about Stephen Fogarty.
Well, I'll tell you what. Let me start with a quote that I got from the coach at Notre Dame, Jeff Jackson.
Okay.
Stephen is a smart offensive player who has excellent instincts with and without the puck. He's shown strong scoring skills at the high school level, great character and leadership ability, and he could be an impact player at Notre Dame. He's going to spend next season in the United States Hockey League with the Chicago Steel. Here's the things I like. He's a right-handed center who played I've got Glenn Sather talkitis.
We'll worry about his politics next week.
Yeah.
He's a right-wing senator.
He's got Sarah Palin for his center, and John McClain is his left wing. Obama's on defense, as he always is.
You just made another Satherism. John McClane was the hockey player. I think you were thinking of John McCain.
Yeah, well, it's been a long weekend, hasn't it? Hey, this is supposed to be my end. It's supposed to be my end of season, but he's a hard worker. He went to Edina High School in Minnesota, and that's kind of like, you know, the hockey factory for Minnesota. I mean, they send out kids who are linebacker sized with they play football and then they turn to hockey for the season. And that's kind of Fogarty. I mean, he's He just needs to work on his foot speed. He's got to do the usual mature into his body. But I'll tell you what, with his work ethic and going to Notre Dame, which is a growing program, this could wind up being a great steal. Yeah.
Okay.
Go ahead. Last season, Notre Dame played 10 freshmen, and they made it a whole lot deeper. They were leading the CCHA for most of the year, and he's going to go play with an Islander draft pick named Anders Lee, and they're friends and teammates. They've got chemistry. This kid, you're going to hear a lot about him next year.
Okay. This is another guy to keep Brian. Now you're getting me excited about these guys I never heard of.
Well, you know what? That's the thing. You know, Gordy Clark tells you. He tells you straight out. Expect the unexpected. He says options are limitless. And
right. The
Rangers staff are looking for people who are going to play with a physical edge. They're looking for guys who got it upstairs. You know, they don't have to be the most talented people in the world, but if they've got a good hockey IQ and they're willing to work hard, they're going to find good players. Like the next kid on the list, Michael St. Croix, plays in the Western Hockey League. I've seen him a couple of times. He turned his season around last year. 18 goals, 28 assists, 46 points, minus 21. This season, 27, 48, 75, plus 28. I mean, and the thing that you know what I like about this kid? He didn't fight once during the season. And in the playoffs against Red Deer, somebody cheap shot one of his teammates, and before that guy could turn around, St. Croix was on him. And the kid had like at least 4 or 5 inches on him. Didn't matter. You touched a teammate, he jumped. That's the kind of people you want.
Yeah, definitely. It's the kind of, you know, he's another one of these big North American kids that the Rangers, that seem to be fitting into the mold that the Rangers are looking at now these last couple of years in the draft.
Hey, he's a second-generation player. His dad was a Flyer. I mean, we won't hold that against him. His dad played for the Flyers and the Maple Leafs. His brother was a draft pick of the Flames. So it's, you know, he's got good genes. I mean, you can't complain about that.
Was his dad, was it Daniel?
Yeah, Daniel St. Croix.
Huh. Didn't know that. Okay. All right, so who's next?
My favorite.
This is your favorite pick?
This is, you know, hey, I'm 5'8". You've met me.
The little guy?
The little guy. But this ain't no, I'll tell you what, Shane McCaughey is not your average little guy. He's 5'8", yes. Hart is 7'8". He led the Kelowna Rockets, who are one of the best teams in the Western Hockey League year in, year out in scoring. And I'll tell you what, my first game that I was back to when I got off the injured list was game one of Kelowna versus Portland, and that kid basically silenced an entire sellout crowd. He had a hat trick in game one. Kelowna stole the game, 5-1, and he had 4 points in that game. He went 8, 11, 19 in playoff games, and you know, he's a smart kid. He's not afraid to drop them either. Yeah, you know, he's going to show up. He's going to have that lunchbox in his hand. You can say he's got a bit of Brandon Prust, a bit of Ryan Callahan, and you know, if this kid was 6'1", 6'2", he's first, second round, guaranteed. But
okay.
now we come to our friend Samuel.
Okay. Responding to a chat question here.
Okay.
Bear with me a second. Working solo without Eddie, so It's hard. I gotta wear a couple of hats tonight. All right. Sorry about that.
Nope.
So next on the list we have Samuel Noreau.
Yeah. Does anybody know how to say goon in French?
Laroque.
6'4", 220, 141 penalty minutes on the second worst team in the Quebec League. And I'm going to say East Coast Hockey League, American Hockey League, Central Hockey League, goon. It's hard to get excited about a guy that plays for the Drakkar because, man, there's 18 teams in the Quebec League, and 16 of them make the playoffs, and you're not one of them. That's a statement.
Huh. That is
they won 12. They won 12 games last year. And I think they set a new record for most consecutive losses in a row. I think they went like 2 months without a win. Yes, that's bad.
Okay, so I think what you're politely trying to say is you don't understand the thinking that went into this pick.
Oh, I understand the thinking. The thing that the Rangers are trying to do because of the death of Bouguard, and, you know, let's be honest. Everybody loves Brandon Prust, but he's a middleweight, okay? And my own concern is he keeps playing hurt. Every time you play a game when you're hurt, you cut a game off your career. And as much as Brandon Prust is a fan favorite, I'd rather have Brandon Prust play 10 years instead of 5 years, if you catch my drift.
Right.
And you bring in a kid that's 6'4", 210, and, you know, Prusty's the type of player that, you know, he's going to give you the penalty kill. He's going to provide energy and points. So you want to keep him out on the ice. So the less time he's got to fight, the more effective he is for the Rangers. So you're going to bring in a kid like this and hope that he can turn into a fighter and doesn't hurt you, you know, on defense.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So what about the last pick of the draft was, well, for the Rangers anyway, Peter Sereznak?
Sereznak. It's an interesting call. He did not play as well as they thought. He was like 24th at the midterm, and he wound up dropping down to 35. He's a Slovak, and he's basically from the same team and school and town as Roman Horak was. And I'm going to give this kid the benefit of the doubt. He looks like a late bloomer. And, you know, he's 93, he just turned 18. He's going to play for the senior team next year. And looks like he's also going to be on the Slovakian World Junior team. So, you know, this is when you get down to the sixth and seventh rounds, it's basically close your eyes, throw the dart, and hope you hit something.
Right. So will all of the draft picks go to the Ranger prospect camp now, or only some of them?
I would say everybody but the last one. Unless he was in North America already, Sereznak, mm-hmm. No, I don't think he'll be there. Everybody there. You know what's the one we got to watch for? Let's see if Kreider shows up.
Now, do you think he will?
Well, here's my mindset. Last year at this time, Ryan McDonough, he said, "Nah, I'm going back for senior year. I'm going to be captain of my team." And he, Derek Steffen talked him into attending the camp. And by Thursday, he was like, "Man, I want to sign. I'm ready. I'm here. I'm right now."
Right.
Kreider, I actually think should go back to Boston College for another year. But, man, Derek Steffen is his best friend. Ryan Bourque is his best friend. And they're kind of like, you know, hey, man, we can live together in New York in an apartment. We're, you know, 21. We're all going to have big bucks. And, you know, who needs college? But I really do believe that if Kreider is allowed to stay another year, he's going to be the main focus of Boston College this year. I think it's in his best interest to stay at BC.
Well, yeah, I mean, we had talked about this before, but I mean, we can go over it again. I had said that when he was drafted, you know, I remember when he did his press conference, he was adamant about going to school. And I know you have said previously that his family wants him to finish school. And you had also talked about how he did against the tougher competition this year.
And that's why.
Right.
Let's take the opposite end of the spectrum. Christian Thomas. Okay, here's how I look at players. If Christian Thomas heats up in March, I mean, he went nuts in March. He went nuts in the playoffs. Kreider got hurt, yes, but Kreider wasn't getting hot in March. And if these guys aren't getting hot in March, then, you know, what good is if you've got 45 goals before January when you score only another 10 when your team's making a playoff rush?
Right.
That's the difference between why Thomas is going to get a long look and Kreider should go back to school.
Okay. Makes sense. Now, maybe who were some of the do you know, besides the guys that were just drafted over the last 2 days, who else? How does the prospect camp work? Is it something that the Rangers do they invite the prospects? Do they say you have to be here, or is it just non-mandatory? It's not mandatory.
But let me put it to you this way: since the Rangers started doing this camp, there's several reasons why they do this. The first one is basically, just for an example, all right, you and Eddie, you played in the Western Hockey League. Eddie played in the Ontario League.
And I'm going to stop you 1 second. Eddie has joined us. Good evening, Eddie. How are you?
Oh, I just found out we're playing in two junior leagues.
Yes.
Hi, Eddie.
You're in the Yodel League and I'm in the Cupcake League.
No.
Okay.
You're in the better league. You're in the W. He's in the O.
Oh, okay.
Ah.
If you weren't there, he gets first pick.
Okay. Okay, I understand.
All right.
So Chis, how are you doing? How are you
great.
Feeling?
Good. I'm great. I'm looking forward to a nice couple of weeks without hockey, and man, I got a lot of work to do on my house. I'll never get sick and be able to look at your own house because
yeah, I know it's rough doing the work on the house, and I'm glad you're able to do it. I'm glad you joined us. What have I missed, guys? What have I missed?
Well, we ran down all the draft picks. And Jess gave us a great explanation of what the USHL is, the hockey league, and all, because we didn't quite understand. So he gave us the breakdown on that. He likes the picks that they made. The Noro one is a bit of at least to me, a head scratcher. Samuel Noro in the fifth round. He's a big slab of meat on skates,
It'll be somebody Eddie's going to have lots of fun with.
Well, what was your – I know everybody in the audience, but just for my own – what did you think about the JT Miller picks?
Miller, you know, he's – you know, everybody was upset with the pick, right, Eddie? Nobody liked it. You know why nobody likes the pick? Here's God's honest truth. Because, once again, Gordy Clark – pulled one on people. Everybody was saying Tyler Biggs, Mark McNeil, this guy, that guy, this guy, that guy, that guy, this guy, this guy. Nobody said JT Miller. Nobody even had him on the radar. And here comes Gordy Clark, who does what he always does. He says, options are limitless. He picks Miller. And then if you look at Miller, there's not much difference between Miller, Biggs, or McNeil. They all do the same thing. The difference probably is going to wind up being Miller's probably going to be the faster skater.
Right.
The way I looked at it
is they got JT Miller and, in essence, Tim Erickson in the same draft. So the way I'm looking at it, it's a win situation for me to get both those guys.
You know, that, right? you took the words right out of my mouth. I mean, I'll tell you what, I'll go even further. The Rangers, before they even started the draft, were winners. For one thing, the Flyers, man. Thank you, guys. Go ahead, trade 59 goals out of your lineup. Give a guy a $9 million, a nine-year contract. Thank you. You just helped the Rangers move up in the playoff standings next year. And the Rangers didn't have to do a thing. You trade your captain. You trade your leading goal scorer. You know, we slammed the Rangers for bonehead moves. Trust me. Go look at Philadelphia. Go look. How does a team, Eddie, honest truth, since 2004, Philadelphia has drafted a total of 9 goaltenders, and they can't develop one.
Wow, I didn't realize that. Eddie dropped off the line. I don't know what happened. He lost his connection or something. But I didn't realize they've drafted 9 goaltenders since 2004. Is that what you said?
Yeah. You know how many games total all of them together have played?
At two. The NHL level? I'll guess. Two?
Two.
Jeez. All right, Eddie's back with us. Eddie, did you hear that, what Jess was saying about the Flyers?
Well, I know he was saying the Flyers gave up a certain amount of goals and – I couldn't agree with them more. They really threw the baby out with the bathwater just to get a goalie for 9 years.
Yeah.
Well, he was just saying that since 2004, the Flyers have drafted 9 goaltenders, and they've played a total of 2 games at the NHL level.
Wow.
Oh, hey, I'll go one better. Did you guys catch the Memorial Cup, the final game, where St. John Sea Dogs shut out? They shut out Owen Sound and won. The winning goalie in that game was a kid by the name of Jake DeSers. The Flyers drafted him 2008 third round and said, "Nah, you know what? We don't want to sign you." He only won 32 games last year. He only was the most valuable player in the playoffs. Thank you, Philly. On behalf of Ranger fans, we thank you.
Well, you know what's got me a little concerned, Jess, is that, you know the departure of Evgeny Grachev, and that turned out to what seems to be he has to be traded, and then Ethan Werrick being sent to Phoenix. But some of these draft picks are finding their way out of the system fairly early.
Okay.
I'm a little concerned about that.
All right, well, let's take the first one, Werrick, okay? Because I actually talked to Gordy Clark right after the deal went down. And Gordy Clark, basically, the trade was made because, not because of Werrick's work ethic, it's just that from the day he was drafted to that point where they trade him, he did not make the forward enough progress to make it worth the Rangers signing him. And it's hard to argue with him because Werrick was getting hurt. Werrick was, you know, wearing a knee brace, wearing a wrist brace, and getting himself suspended for 5 games. You can't really blame the Rangers on Werrick. Werrick, it was just bad circumstances. He played on an underachieving Kingston team, a team that was built to win for the playoffs, but got themselves stomped night in and night out. Werrick basically is just bad. You know, bad luck. He couldn't stay healthy. Grachev, on the other hand, the Rangers do bear a lot of responsibility for that one. Everybody, you know, when Grachev was with Brampton, Stan Butler was his coach there. Stan Butler and Tom Rennie are good friends. The reason why Grachev wound up in Brampton is because Tom Rennie asked him to take him. And he did. And when Gratchev won the OHL Rookie of the Year award, Butler said he needs another year in the O. But the Rangers didn't listen. This is right after they fired Tom Rennie.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't listen to Butler. Butler said leave him another year, and they didn't. They sent him to the AHL, and he's an 18, 19-year-old kid. He's Russian. He's in Hartford. There's nobody for him to speak with. There's no other Russian players. The only man in the Rangers organization that speaks Russian is John Roscoe. So,
right.
Think about it. The first time you were away from home, Eddie, think about it. I mean, it's a scary situation. I'm not letting the kid off the hook.
Right.
Because the kid knew. You know, he told me himself. I interviewed him the day he was named OHL Player of the Year, Rookie of the Year, I should say. And he said to me straight out that this is nothing like I'm used to. In Russia, we practice a couple of days. We play once a week. Boom. Here, you have to work hard every day. He knew.
Right.
So I'm going to say on this one, it's a 50-50 blame.
Mm-hmm.
The kid, and you know, and I'll tell you what, if you know, let's be honest. I mean, how many people were going around calling this kid a bust?
Everybody.
Right.
I couldn't find anybody. I've always liked him. I don't know why, but everybody we've had on has told me that, you know, one guy told me he's a floater, he's a dog, he's a this, he's that, and I just know what I see when I watch him as a Ranger. So I don't know. I saw him in the preseason. He looked like he could compete. He looked like he was better than average. He came up here for 8 games last year. They asked him to do a checking role. He certainly did that. I know he had no shots on goal, but he was playing a minute and a half, 2 minutes a night. He was asked to do a role. He did it. He wasn't lollygagging around the ice like I heard he was doing in the AHL. So I felt, okay, you know, he's still young. Maybe he'll come around. I know it's – and I do agree. He should have spent another year in the O. He should have, I think you're certainly right about being acclimated to Hartford. Being American and living in Hartford is bad enough. If you're from Russia, that place, you know, this isn't like Fun City USA over there. And I felt, you know, being with the Rangers and around a guy like Anisimov and other guys, you know how these Russian players are with the language and to have some camaraderie, but I do agree. I think you're right on. It's a 50-50 thing because certainly you have to, you know, you're a professional, you're being paid. You've got to come to play every night. But when I saw him in a Ranger uniform, I just could tell you I've seen a lot worse come through this organization at that age, okay?
Or older.
To get rid of him. Now, I don't know about the John Fogarty, the guy from Creedence Clearwater. There was the guy they got, Scott Fogarty, whatever.
Steve.
I don't know too much about him, so maybe you could fill me on him. I'm glad that great minds think alike, that me and Jess are on the same page.
I'll give you a great example. You guys remember last year, Kirill Kabanov, the Russian kid?
Right. Right.
Everybody hated him. Nobody liked him. He was this. He was that. Got chased away from Moncton. Got chased away from the Russian team. Lewiston picked him up November, and the first thing they did was they brought another Russian kid in, and they put him together as roommates. Kabanov and his kid Markov, they bonded instantly. Because they have already finished high school, they were going to all the little Lewiston schools, and they were going and spending their off time reading to kids. Kabanov goes from flake, crazy, strange individual to the best Islander prospect in the playoffs this year. He outplayed Nino Niederreiter. He outplayed Brock Nelson. He had a 12-game scoring streak in the playoffs, man. And all the difference was is he had somebody to talk to.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those nuances that I don't think the the Rangers even thought about. You know,
It's the same. It's not only the Rangers that do this. It's a lot of teams. You know, let's take this. Let's go look at this trade for Jeff Carter by Columbus. How many years have they been trying to find a first line center for Rick Nash? You're in the league. You're in the league since 2000, and you can't find one guy to play with your best player. You've had 10 lottery picks, and you can't come up with one guy. We're all worried about the Rangers. We don't, you know, we're all getting upset with Sathan when he gives out these fat contracts or when he makes a trade or something we don't like. Everybody that watches the Rangers should take a step back and go take a peek at some of the other teams. Because I'll tell you what, take that. You know, when the Islanders took Ryan Strome with the 5th pick, I started laughing. Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Did you, I'm glad you mentioned that because we had a lot of fun with that last night because they interviewed him on TSN and he's sitting there. Oh, I'm so happy I'm going to be, I can't wait to go play for the Islanders. I love the colors. I love the jersey. And I was sitting there, I was tweeting. Ryan Strome just said, oh, I'm so glad to be going to play in New York someday, to play on Broadway and for an Original Six team. Wait, what? You know, like, I'm like, does he know it's the Islanders that drafted him?
Oh, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Well, no, here's why I started laughing. You remember I was telling you guys about Jason Wilson, the 5th round pick?
Yeah.
Well, see, Ryan Strome and Jason Wilson were line mates. And Wilson's number one job was to be his bodyguard. Because Strome, if you get physical with him, you can shut him down. He went from a 5-game scoring streak in the playoffs when he faced his own future teammate the next round. He was shut down like a lock and key. And I'm telling you, he's barely 6 foot. Hi, Ryan. Can I introduce you to the truck, Dylan McElrath? Please. Ryan McDonough. Michael Sauer. Mark Stahl. Oh, you better get used to the perimeter because you ain't going nowhere near Ranger net. They will eat him alive.
Can't wait.
Eddie, before you got online, that's what I was telling Jim. You know, the Rangers, they didn't have to do much to improve themselves. Everybody else did stupid. I mean...
I like to hear that. That's a good... I'm glad that...
Here, take an example. Minnesota, the Wild, the state that produces all these great hockey players, had 2 first-round picks, and they took Europeans. Hi.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Yeah. I I actually had dinner with Dylan McElrath last night. There's photos on Facebook and everything.
Is he a great kid?
Oh, yeah. Fantastic kid. He's so young looking, though.
Yeah.
He's a young looking guy. I felt like it was past his bedtime, but I was like, you know, welcome to New York, man. I hope to see you soon. And Christian Thomas and the Haglund kid.
I've been telling you guys, you don't love him.
I have to say, he came up to me as very mature, like very, I don't know, above his years, the way I gauged him just in the brief time I spoke to him. So you're assessing this range of draft like I am. Listen, Erickson, J.T. Smith, we're good to go. I mean, you know...
Yeah, I liked Miller. I want Miller to spend some time in school. Well, and I'll be honest. You know, everybody thinks that I am anti-free agent. It's not that I don't like Brad Richards. I don't like 6-year contracts. If you, Eddie, if you can get Brad Richards to sign a 3-year deal, where after 3 years, if he's still playing well, we sign him again, go for it. But Wade Redden, Chris Drury, Marion Gabrick, every time they sign somebody to anything more than a two-year deal, it goes south on the Rangers. And Miller, you know, he's a good kid. 3 years, in 3 years he'll be Ranger ready. But
right,
you know, that's why stop the if you give 3 year contract, they're giving 3 year contracts to Dubinsky and Callahan and Staal and, you know, Dan Girardi. If those guys are taking three-year deals, maybe you need to start thinking about that. I mean, next year, you look at all these teams, you know, Columbus, who's now got a guy that's got a 12-year contract, Los Angeles got an 11-year contract. You know, we're going to wind up losing another year of hockey because Gary Bettman's going to say, well, if the Rangers would stop spending stupidly, when it's not the Rangers, it's a lot of other teams. It's every, you know what? We all dislike Glenn Sather. We can't stand what he does with the free agents. But it's scary. He's the sanest dude out there. You know?
Well, the cap made him sane. Let's put it that way. We have the cap, the institution of the salary cap made him more palatable to sanity, I guess, or, you know, brought him along a little bit. I agree with you.
He had an epiphany.
And I do get your point that there's a lot worse out there, and certainly I don't know. I'm still miffed that Columbus took that contract after they lost $25 million last year. I don't know how they think they're going to make it work. Maybe they think, let's get fans in the stands now and see if we can get some buzz about this team, make some of the money back.
Ain't going to happen.
See, I think it's not going to happen. I don't think they're worried about it because they just figure they're going to be contracted in a couple of years and they won't be responsible for this money anyway.
No, I'm hearing rumors that somebody's whispering to Jim Basile saying, if you play by the rules, you will get a team. And the NHL, man, they were shocked. They were shocked at the reaction that the people in Canada gave to when Winnipeg got the team back. I mean, what? You sold out 13,000 tickets in how long?
New Jersey.
Well, 13,000 tickets in New Jersey is what? 5 years? 6 years? I mean, Gary Bettman, he put teams based on TV ratings shares. Atlanta, you know, Columbus, you know, they're talking Seattle. You know, you put them where people love the game. And Hamilton, they want a team. Saskatoon, they want a team. They're building an arena for it. Hey, Blue Jackets, you guys are going to look good in Saskatchewan. I can't wait for Doc Emmert to have to go, welcome to Saskatchewan.
Well, I got to say, just let me jump in here for a second on the Richard thing. I think, yes, we've been burned. When I say we, I mean the Rangers have been burned by some long-term contracts. But you still have to, you know, I know it comes to burn us. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's I like to be abused as a Ranger fan. But he's such a need right now. And although he comes with a little baggage with the concussions and maybe we got to sign him for 6 years, what have you, I really think if the Rangers, and I know you have the utmost confidence in what they've got, and I think they do have a good young nucleus, they need something for now. Because if they go in with the same team next year, and just I know Sather's mentality, he's going to throw everything to get Richards.
Yeah.
And you know, it's going to be, I think it's going to be between them and Toronto. And there's two teams that notoriously, you know, don't really handle their cap situations all that well. But you're certainly right that Glenn Sather is not the, you know, he's not the most evil GM out there. Or, you know, there's certainly other ones.
I'll tell you what, Eddie, Let me give you – here's the smell test. This is the test that says whether you give the guy a contract or not. I want to say, Eddie, I want to hear, why are you here? Are you going to tell me you're here because you believe the New York Rangers are going to offer you the best chance to win? Or are you here because the New York Rangers are going to offer you the most money? If you tell me you're here to win, I'll give you your contract. I'll give you your money. But if you say because the Rangers offered you the most money, I don't want you because once you get that money, you are not hungry. Hello, Miami Heat.
Well,
to me, Eddie,
I hear where you're coming from. But, you know, the reality is that it's a business. I mean, you know, Brad Richards is not going to go to Toronto because he wants to play, you know, for Toronto. He's going to go there. They're going to offer him the most money. If he comes to the Rangers, the same deal.
It is that. And see, that's why, you know, I'm not anti these guys. Let's take that $8 million. Great. I like Brooks Leitch. I can't even pronounce his name. The kid from the Caps.
Yeah, Brooks Leitch. Yeah.
Leitch. I mean, he plays all three forward positions. He's 27 years old. He only made $2 million last year, so he's going to probably top out 3, 4, maybe 5. He's 27. You sign him to a 5-year deal. He's 32 when it's over. He scored 25 goals in the league. You know what he can do. You know he's going to be a voice of sanity in the locker room. You know he's going to kill penalties. He's going to be on the power play, and he's going to protect your star players. That's a good investment. You know, you get yourself,
right.
you take the $8 million and you break it down. And you break it down so where you get your 5 here, 3 there, 2 there, you know. You spend the money not all at one shot, but you fill in holes. Because we're going to be stuck with $14 million until September. And I'll tell you what, I feel for Chris Drury. I mean, if you didn't know his knee was bad when he had that surgery, come on, Glenn. Come on. I mean, when you're down to knee on knee, there's nothing in there. The Rangers, come on. It's their doctors. It's their trainers doing the rehab. How do you not know that the guy has not got a bum knee?
Right.
You know?
Okay. Well, Jim, take over the show now that me and Jess basically had our own show for the last half hour, which I like.
That's okay.
You guys are my favorite to talk to because it is basically we're just talking and you know.
Right.
We love having you because we always get a good education when we have you on and we're as always we're happy to have you. But we do have a couple of people that want to ask you some questions. So we're gonna
let's go for it.
Let's get them on. We'll go through them quickly and then we'll let you go. First up is Mark. Mark, you had a question for Jess?
Yeah, actually, Jess, thanks for clearing up the U.S. development team question that I had before. I appreciate that. I didn't know what that. I didn't realize it was like the Team USA thing. I thought it was something different.
It is Team USA. What they've done is basically, they've taken these kids and rather than you know a kid that's in Florida, Andrew Yogan, was born in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
He gets to go up to Ann Arbor. He gets to play a 50-60 game schedule. He gets to go to school, and he has an option. He doesn't have to go. He doesn't have to go, you know, into the juniors because the moment you say I'm going to the juniors, you cannot go to U.S. college. Even if you never play for the junior team, if you hint it, that's it. So if you go to this program, then you have a chance. You either get a college scholarship or then you go up to the juniors.
Oh, that's good. Sounds really good.
Yeah. And what do you want to know?
I agree with Jim on the Kreider. I think Kreider should definitely stay and finish. I mean, he's only got 1 year left, right? So he should just definitely finish. That doesn't matter. And then next year he can be with Stepan and all his buddies or whatever. So, and you and I actually had a Facebook exchange about the philosophy you were saying about Richards, you know, giving one guy a lot of money versus kind of breaking it up and whatever. So I'm not going to go into that too much. I actually have – it's kind of a fundamental question. I think of it's recently, you know, the whole Atlanta to Winnipeg move. And how it seemed, obviously Winnipeg has been in the works for probably a while, I would think a few years or whatever. But it seemed like from the time you heard about it to the time it happened was pretty quick. It was like a few months or whatever. I mean, when it was like rumored to happen and then it happened. How come, can you explain to me, how come it takes them just a few months to do that, and meanwhile Bettman says it's going to take an entire year for them to figure out that Winnipeg belongs in the Northwest Division or whatever versus the Southeast Division? Why do they need a whole year to realign the league? I mean, it should take like one meeting for an hour. You do it on a dry erase board, and you're done. I don't understand. Can you explain that to me?
You know, I'll tell you what. If I had an answer for that one, I'll tell you what. I wouldn't be sitting here. I'd be rolling in the dough.
Exactly.
Mark, you know what the honest truth is?
The
excuse is as bogus, because you know what they, you know when the schedule comes out,
right,
and everybody complains about, oh my God, it's 3 games of 4 nights, 5 games,
right,
of this,
right,
and that.
Right,
the
right.
NHL goes, well, that's because the computer determines the schedule.
Oh, well, God.
Hi. You
program so that, you know, we play the Islanders or the Devils the last game of the year like we did this year. I mean, you can program to do that, you know, to consider rivalries and all that, and travel and all that other stuff. That's a ridiculous deal.
It's all bogus.
Yeah,
really,
absolutely.
You know what the real thing is? The mm-hmm. reason why Atlanta to Winnipeg went so fast
mm-hmm.
is because
mm-hmm.
the NHL couldn't afford during their biggest time of the year, the
right.
Stanley Cup Finals,
right.
to have people talking about two teams that were falling apart.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. It was a PR thing, basically. Yeah, I agree with that.
What it was.
Yeah, you're right. And then they had all the Vancouver mess, of course. That didn't help either. But
you know what? I want to talk about the Vancouver mess, because that's right down the road for me. I hate going to Vancouver.
Okay.
The fans, to me, they're bad. But what happened in Vancouver, the first hour, you can
mm-hmm.
say we're upset fans,
right?
But after that, that was
it was just like it was just like people, lunatics who were happened to be on the street and just got involved. I think, yeah, I would agree with you. That makes sense.
That's a shame, because it's a black eye on Vancouver.
Yeah, it's a nice city.
Eye.
I've been there. I was actually there when Gretzky retired. I bought all the Vancouver newspapers that had 99 on the front cover. I was like, this is awesome. I'm in Canada, and he retired, and I went to Stanley Park and the Capuana Bridge. I was like, this is a beautiful city. I mean, it's really nice out there.
And it's not fair, because, you know, and it's the same thing. It's just like how the Rangers, remember it's always the Rangers were the ones blamed because of rising salaries. No,
it's not.
It was the Los Angeles Kings who traded for Wayne Gretzky and
right.
then just gave him everything he wanted. It was the Boston Bruins who broke the rules on the rookie salary cap.
Mm-hmm. And the Devils with Covey, and also the Blues with Scott Stevens. Remember that thing? I remember that. There's plenty of other teams that have been guilty of overspending before the cap or even after the cap. Oh, yeah, I totally agree with you. We just, because we're New York and whatever, we just get kind of bad. Speaking of New York, I just wanted to ask you one other question about the Winter Classic. I'm very excited about it, obviously. And I asked Jim and Eddie this the other night. Do you know any more details about, like, when tickets are going on sale, for one, or how they're going to distribute tickets? And two, have you talked to Tortorella about his reaction and the fact that he's going to be, you know, in the locker room with cameras and all that stuff?
You know what? The one person I think I've had maybe like a 1-2 sentence conversation with in my time is
mm-hmm.
John Tortorella. I don't want nothing to do with Tortorella, because
I agree with you. He's not. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
It's not that. It's more. The conversation I'll have with John Tortorella is, I want to know, John, how are you exactly planning on growing these kids?
The people
who are important to me are Jim Schoenfeld, Gordy Clark, and Jeff Gordon. Those are the people for what I do. I want to talk to them.
If the Rangers crap out, those guys aren't going to get canned. It's Tortorella that's going to get canned, and then And then they'll still have the scouts, and it's a 5-10 year deal with a scout, if you think about it, like Rockstrom and some of those European guys.
Yeah.
You know, that's they're going to be there, I would think, as long as Sather's there, assuming he stays.
You know what?
I'm glad
you said that, Mark. I really am glad you say that, because, you know, Jim, Eddie, I always wanted to say this part. Do you know the New York Rangers? They have the guy, Jeff Gordon,
mm-hmm.
who ran the Boston draft, the 2006 draft, where they picked up Lucic, Marchand,
mm-hmm.
and Kessel. That was Jeff Gordon. He made those picks. And guess what? He works for the Rangers.
Well, that's good. That's good.
Do you know
Gordy
Clark? Yeah, Gordy Clark worked for Boston. He's worked for the Islanders. Hey, Clark, he just found this 6'7" guy named Chara.
I actually think, you know, I don't know, I remember, I actually think we should bring Don Maloney back, to be honest. I mean, why not? Why don't you think so?
Because you know who picked Hugh Jessamyn?
Okay. Well, but hang on. I understand, but that's his, whoever he has. I'm saying Maloney with the current scouts. Do you see what I'm saying? If he had the scouts that we have
Maloney
now.
Who are we going to trade with?
Yeah. I'm sorry.
There's a 68.71% chance you're right.
Good point. Yeah, because Lori Kapokoski would come right back with him or something.
Well,
yeah,
know,
that's true.
You know,
good point.
You know, when they announced Phoenix's pick, you know, with the 20th
right.
pick, the New
right.
York Rangers will be trading for.
That's right. So I don't know. I just
got
to
get some other people on the line.
Yeah, no problem. I really appreciate right. you. You do a great job. The Prospect Park, it's a great name. I love it. So thank you very much.
Thank
take
you.
Take care, Mark.
Yep, take it easy. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, let's see. We got another question for you, Jess. Rock, welcome to the program. How are you?
What's up, guys? How are you?
All right, how are you?
Hey, Jess, what's going on? How you
hey,
doing?
Another guy named Rock. I love it.
Yeah, we actually exchanged a few times on Twitter in the past, too. So,
okay.
Very informative, and we always appreciate when you do these shows, so thank you.
Oh, thank you, guys. You know, thank you, guys. Thank Gordy Clark. Thank Tom Rennie. Thank the late Jay Maguire.
That's it.
Those are the guys, you know, those are the guys who took me under their wing and said, no, this is not how you do it. This is how you do it. And I'll tell you what, I couldn't pay for a better education than to have those guys, a guy like Eddie Mio, a legend named Tommy McVee. Those are the people who sat me down and said, this is how we judge a player. And that's what I do. That's all I do is I just read their notebooks. The rest
wow.
is the kids. The honest truth, it's all the kids. You know that question? If any of you people ever read my Blue Shirt Bulletin interviews, if you go look at the last question where I say, I want you to tell me how you're going to score that game-winning goal. And the reason I ask that question is because if somebody's going to give me a total description, a whole Bible version of it, then I know that that kid every day thinks of nothing but doing that, scoring that goal and winning the Stanley Cup. That's all he ever does. You get a kid that only says, well, I'm going to come in, pick up the puck and score. That's not a guy you want.
A little more imagination, I guess, right?
It's the hunger. It's the desire. When the very first time I met Brandon Dubinsky, the first thing he told me is, you know what? I'm better than half the centers the Rangers have.
Brother.
Probably right.
The first thing Brandon Dubinsky ever said to Jess was, I've been thinking about growing a mustache.
Yeah.
Brother.
Oh, you guys, you know what? Jim, I need to show – I'll tell you what. I'm gonna email you my first Brandon Dubinsky picture. I'll email you that after the show. Yeah. You got to see what he looked like back in 2004.
Well, I remember the pictures from – I mean, he's very boyish looking. He still looks like he's 18. When he grew the mustache, he just looked like an 18-year-old with a bad mustache.
Rock, did you have a question?
I had a couple. And I know you're short on time, but I'll try to whip through them pretty quick. Quickly, Andrew Yogan's contract status. I know they got Thomas locked up. They got someone else. They got McElrath obviously locked up from there. Where is his contract status? How is he progressing? Because I know he had the rotator cuff injury, like myself. So I just wanted to know how he was progressing and if they were looking to sign him.
They're going to hold off on Yogan, and you can't blame him. I mean, he missed all the year, and he kind of like got into a problem with his coach at the Erie Otters, and that mm-hmm. was four, and the coach there was Robbie Fatorik, and Ken Germander said that he did pretty good in the brief time in the American Hockey League. I think what Yogan needs is to find himself a place where he's, you know, not going to be chewed on every 30 seconds. And that's going to be hard. I know that the Rangers really want him to do good because he really, before he got hurt twice. The first time was in his draft year. The second time was the discovery of shoulder year. Take those two injuries away, the Rangers wouldn't have got him in the third round. He would have been a first-round pick. He's size, his hands are quick, he's smart. He needs to learn how to play defense. But I'll tell you what, on the ice, 6'3", he can score from anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
If he has a good – I can just about say if Yogan stays healthy, the Rangers will sign him next April for sure.
Okay, and they hold – obviously they can hold the players' rights for, 2 years?
Yes.
Is that how it works? Okay.
Yeah, what happens is after the – all right, you've been drafted. After the first year, the Rangers only have to do what they call a tender.
Mm-hmm.
And a tender basically says, here, this is a piece of paper, and we're still interested in you. And it keeps their rights for a second year. If they don't issue the tender, then the kid can go back in the draft. They've given him a tender. And, you know, Gordy Clark told me that the logic now to sign these kids early is that they can focus only on development. They don't have to worry about, well, man, if I have a horrible season, they're not going to sign me. Well, they've already signed me. The contract will start when I make it to the pro game, so I can go out and work on training. Great idea.
Now, Jess, also, has the criteria changed as far as drafting players? Because I know the year after the lockout, the Al Montoya draft, they had a lot of picks, and obviously they drafted Montoya, they drafted Korbikoski, they drafted a guy named Darren Alva, which I don't think ever made it, Bruce Graham. Then they finally got Dubinsky. Then they drafted the other guy, Billy Ryan, and they drafted Callahan. It seems like they threw a lot of balls against the wall, and seemed like only two guys, obviously at this stage, I guess. Period. I mean, I don't know about Montoya and Korbikoski, but I've stayed with the Rangers. Now, has their criteria changed as far as drafting? Because I also noticed, in addition to that, that they, with the exception of Sharapanov and maybe Anisimov, since Gordy Clark's taken over, they've taken a lot less European players.
That's, I'll tell you what, that's actually kind of misleading because they just picked up Lindbergh, Eriksson, and Bast.
But I'm saying from a draft perspective, when they're at the draft table, you know, they seemed like they picked Jasper Fast last season late. They picked this Slovak player late.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about earlier in the rounds. I mean, I was just curious about that. I don't know if it's because Rockstrom's not there anymore that maybe their whole European tingent isn't as strong.
Have they noticed something
with the European players opposed to drafting, you know, from North America?
Well, first of all, I'm going to disagree with you about the European scouts, because Anders Hedberg replaced Rockstrom.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a guy in Moscow. They've got a guy in the Czech Republic. They've got Hedberg in Sweden. And they're also getting help from some guy named Naslund, who's going around and he's doing a great job selling people, saying, you know, the Rangers are good people to play for. I mean, the Rangers are very, very much in tune with it. The problem runs into they still haven't figured out in the CBA whether you can keep those rights for a European forever like they used to, or is it going to be 2 years, which was under the current CBA. So far now it says you can have them forever. But the other problem is going to be it's the lack of a good player transfer agreement where the Rangers can go up to, you know, the teams in Sweden and say, okay, we want Fast. We'll pay you the transfer fee. The Europeans want a lot of money from it. And you know, the National Hockey League is going, hey, we're not going to give you – the kid's contract's up. Why are we giving you $100,000? And so that's the problem. And it's the same thing with Russia. It's basically politics. And the Europeans also want one thing that I have to agree that's right. If you're going to draft a European and you're going to bring him over, but he can't make your team, why are you sending him to the American Hockey League? Send him back to us. And I think they should do that because most of these kids that wind up – we'll tell you, most of these kids, Grachev, he couldn't handle living in Hartford. That's send the kid back home. Let him play in front of his crowd, and when he's NHL ready, he'll come over. I mean, these kids there, if you Fast playing with adults, Lindbergh playing with adults, Eriksson playing with adults, that's free. Guess what? That's free. It doesn't cost you a dime. Free, free, free. You bring them to the AHL, it's costing you money. So
didn't
let him stay.
Didn't Maxim Kondratchev, didn't they send him back home? He was kind of struggling in Hartford.
No. He actually, you know what? Wade Redden, you may not like him and for that fat contract, but Wade Redden did a great job working with Valentenkov, Kondratik, Nemi. He basically said, guys, if you want to make the NHL, this is how you got to do it. And whoever he partnered.
And just don't blow it.
Basically. You know.
All right, listen, Rock, we're going to let you go so we can get on some other calls.
All right,
we'll talk to you next time.
Have a good night. Later.
Thanks for calling in.
Thanks, Rock.
Thanks, Jess. Later.
Bye. All right, let's see who we got next here. 631-645, you're on Blue Shirt Banner Radio. Who's this?
Good evening. It's Scott from Louisville, Kentucky.
Hello,
hey, Scott. How are you, man?
Louisville.
Right, hi, Scott.
How you doing, Jess?
You know what? How can you not have fun with these two guys?
That's right.
Well, I recently picked you guys up. I usually take a look at Blue Shirt Bulletin and some of the New York Metro blogs and stuff, but just catching up with you guys here in the most recent weeks, and I got to say, you guys do an outstanding job, so thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I guess my question would be, you were talking about the draft earlier with JT Miller, and you said that they really, came from out of nowhere with this pick, and I was wondering if other teams had him as highly regarded as the Rangers did. And if not, was there an opportunity to move down and maybe get back, something, if not in this draft, then, maybe perhaps, a year or two from now?
The wild card actually turned out to be Boston. When Boston made the deal to move up, then the Rangers kind of got cold feet because Brian Burke is like Glenn Sather and Gordy Clark. They like physical Americans. And, when Boston moved up, it gave them a scare because all of a sudden, they had a run. They had a run on defensemen. And then Calgary took Sven Barchi. Then Dallas took Chara, too. So the Rangers looked at it. I mean, if they didn't take Miller then, who they wanted, and I thought they were actually going for McNeil, then they didn't think that Miller was going to stay more than maybe 2 or 3 picks. And it weren't out right because McNeil went at 18th to Chicago. So I think the best laid plans just went awry, and the Rangers got cold feet.
Okay. Another thing I wanted to ask you, too, with the season coming up here in a few months, who do you see as the best chance as a sixth defenseman out of our young prospects? And even, who's going to be that dark horse up front that makes the team?
Well, the dark horse for the defense, the door has been open for Kondratik. I don't think he's really ready. I'd like to see the Rangers actually bring back Emminger for another year because, they just didn't qualify Gilroy, so there's one opening. And if you give Emminger another year – and Erickson needs, a little, shall we say, fine-tuning in Hartford. You got that veteran player. McCabe was a big mistake. But I think by the time the Rangers get back to January, it's going to be Stahl, Girardi, Delzato with McDonough or Sauer, and Erickson with whoever Delzato is not with. And then you keep Emminger as a seventh defenseman. Up front, I'm going to tell you right now, I've been saying it for 4 years, Carl Hagelin. I'm going to tell you right now, Carl Hagelin is going to make the team. Guaranteed. He came
Whoa,
in.
Oh, you're guaranteeing?
Yes.
Are you talking about out of training camp? In October, Carl Hagelin.
Yes, because, what did you say about him, Eddie? What did you say about him?
He's mature. He's a mature guy. You could see that he's above his years.
This is a kid that had 30,000 Michigan fans sign a Swedish flag, a giant Swedish flag, as a thank you gift. He's the first European to be the captain of the Michigan Wolverines. This kid is... kind of, I expect him to show up with a pocket protector and a calculator in his hand. But, He's a great skater. He's a strong forechecker. He's just as fast as Derek Stefan. Because, and yeah, I know that because Stefan and Hagelin went one-on-one with each other 2 years straight at the Winter Classic. So Carl Hagelin, left wing, start third line.
Okay,
he's gonna
appreciate
be,
that.
Yeah.
So, you see him making it, say, over Christian Thomas, who's been
kind of
bantered about that he might make it out of camp.
You know, Thomas ain't making it out of camp. You know, I thought he would, but, you know, it's kind of funny. You know how I made fun of Ryan Strong? Niagara, Jason Wilson, they put the body on Thomas, and they shut him down in the playoffs. So Thomas needs to go back, and he needs to get stronger. He's going to get a long look. If the Rangers keep him, it'll be as a fourth liner, which is a waste of his time. Send him back to Oshawa. Let him play for Team Canada, because Team Canada has already said we didn't have any offense in the World Juniors, and Thomas was one of the first people invited. Let him go back there. You know, Thomas, don't rush him. Gordy Clark says he's an NHL scorer, and I agree, because Thomas can score. He can score from the press box, from the beer garden, from Larry's Deli down the street. The kid can score.
Dance at Larry's Deli.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, I got to say, too, that I was a little disappointed with that Grachev move. You know, if you had a chance to look at that Rangers 20 prospects in 20 days on their main website, you know, Gordy Clark was quoted as saying that they expect big things out of Grachev this year. And I just think that they sold it short. Maybe, you know, it's a young kid here who's frustrated and didn't really know how to communicate what he wanted. And I think you made a really valuable point that he hadn't. You know, I've been to Hartford many a times myself with my job, and it's not the first place I want to be either. So, you know, when they bring these prospects over, I mean, there should be some sort of, you know, system there that that they can work at and make sure that these kids are taken care of, not just on the ice but off the ice as well. And, you know, guys, circle December 15th as the date that the Rangers go to St. Louis, and I'm sure we'll – we'll be talking about this again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know what? I don't understand. And the Rangers, you know, the Rangers used to do this. Dan Blackburn lived with JD, you know, his first year.
You always hear about it. JD would used to protect his daughters by leaving, cereal on the floor so Dan didn't go to their rooms at night. I remember him telling that story.
But see, that's why not? Why aren't the Rangers, they've got a guy there for the Ranger team. Why aren't they? Well, you know, let's bring in, you know, somebody that's gonna who's European. You know, I hate to make it sound like the only reason he's hired is because he's European. But if you bring somebody in as a coach, and he has a European background, then that kid has somebody he can talk to and relate about being homesick. It's, you know, the very first time I started doing this, E.J. McGuire told me I had to drive everywhere, and I didn't understand why. Well, yeah, I do now, because those kids, they have to ride a bus everywhere. So they ride the bus, they get off the bus, go play a game of hockey, get back on the bus, drive down the road again, go play hockey. We who do what we do, we don't live that kind of life. But these kids are asked at 15 and 16 to start living as if they were adults, working a job. And that's a heck of a lot to ask for a teenager.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, you know, down the line, not to get off the subject here, but that kid, Michael Pashinin from I know he plays over in Russia, and his coach is Sergei Nemchinov. So, you know, if there's ever a chance that he does come this way, you know, 2-3 years down the line, that might be someone we can thank, and just letting him know what the New York experience is going to be about, et cetera. So it's a shame it didn't work out with Grachev, though.
Well, you know what? You just named the perfect guy. Why haven't the Rangers hired Nemchinov? I mean, really?
Yeah.
You know, and I'll tell you who else the Rangers need to hire. I don't believe this Tortorella and one guy on the bench. There's a guy coaching in Sudbury who I would want behind on the Ranger bench by the name of Jeff Bookaboom.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the Rangers within 2 years when McElrath and Erickson come on board are going to start a defense with five first-round picks. Why are you not spending the money to have a specific coach just for a defense for the defense? And tell me, when it comes to playing defense, can you do better than Jeff Bookaboom?
No.
Not much.
Not physical defenseman, not much.
You know,
I've seen in my lifetime.
I tell you what, the Rangers do a lot of good things that people don't know about. You know, the Mark Messier move I thought was a bad move. Oh, I am so wrong about that. And I eat my words on that, because they take Mark Messier and they send Mark Messier out to go see, you know, Joe Schmo. And Mark Messier comes out with his five Stanley Cups, six Stanley Cup rings. And Messier still considered a god in Canada. When the kid comes up and he looks like, "Hi, I'm Mark Messier. I'd like to help you learn how to play hockey." You want to bet that kid's listening? Same thing with Adam Graves.
Right.
You bring in a Brian Leetch to come in there, you know, or Mike Richter. He's not busy. Come talk to Scott Staser.
Right.
Use the guys who have been there. Bring them in, you know, special coach to talk to them. You know, most of these guys will do it for nothing. I'd rather see Brian Leetch at the training center than Brian Leetch on MSG do as an intermission guest. Great guy. I love the guy. But, man, I'd rather see you talking to Mike Delzato and show him how to make those moves. That's
right.
That's, you know.
I agree with you. I've said it for years that, you know, although Schoenfeld is the de facto defenseman coach, I mean, how many jobs does the guy have in the organization? You know, he's the GM of Hartford. He's the defenseman coach. I want a guy on the bench working with the defenseman in-game. That's what I would like to see.
The other thing, too, is we were kids when Schoenfeld played. So today's kids, they're like, "Who are you?"
Exactly. So I agree with you. And Scott, I wanted to speak just to the caller. I know you're new to the program, but I have had somewhat of a love affair with Evgeny Grachev on this program. I have been touting him for the last year and a half. So when he got traded, my heart sunk a little, and I saw about $300 in rookie cards go down the drain.
Put me on that same list.
Yeah. Hopefully, you know, we see. I'm looking for good things in St. Louis for him. I wish him the best.
No, I do.
All right.
And you guys take care.
Okay. All right. You too, Scott. Thanks for calling in and call us again, all right?
Yeah, that sounds great. Great job again. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Okay. Take care.
All right. Well, Jess, we appreciate you coming on.
Oh, thank you guys for having me
along tonight, and we'll look forward to what you have to report on the prospects and Traverse City coming up and everything else. And we'll talk again over the summer.
Yeah, I get to start August this year. That's when the evaluation camps are going to be. So,
Are you going to be heading to Traverse City this year, or?
Nah, actually, I'm going to hold off because this year the Rangers actually got they're going to have a couple of kids in the Western Hockey League, so I want to go see them. I want to see them in their training camps because if I see them with the Rangers, at the Rangers, then the Rangers will never tell you a bad thing about one of your kids. But if I see them with my own eyes when they're with their own team, then I'm going to know where the kids' warts really are. And I'll tell you what.
Right.
I like the two kids they drafted in the Western Hockey League. Miller, I'm going to look forward to watching at North Dakota. And I'll tell you what, I tell people, 2 more years. You know, if you read my little piece about dreaming when I said the Rangers were going to be challenging for the Cup in 2013, 2014, it was not really just a dream. It's where I think that team is going to be.
Yeah. I mean, I'm on the record. I said a year ago, 4 years. So I guess that kind of makes us almost a lockstep with each other.
Patience is going to have its reward. It really, truly is. And Kreider, Thomas, McElrath, man, I'll tell you what, you know.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Before we stop streaming, I just wanted to yell out good night. Now we're into the podcast, so don't worry about it.
Okay.
So, So I just keep you a couple more seconds, Jess, because I missed the beginning of the program, just for my own thing. Who do you think got some steals in the draft, and who do you think took some lemons in the first round?
Two steals, Boston for Dougie Hamilton at 9, Carolina, Ryan Murphy at 12. Everybody said Carolina doesn't draft defensemen. I'm saying, oh, they're going to take him. This is Jeff Skinner part two. Murphy was 6'2", he would have been the first pick in the draft. He is an offensive machine. Great pick. Losers, Toronto. I mean, Tyler Seguin and Dougie Hamilton for Phil Kessel. Ooh, what a bad deal.
Right.
Yeah. And the Islanders, Ryan Strome, bad choice. The three guys right behind him were centers. They should have taken any one of those three.
The guys I heard at the draft party with all the Ranger fans, you know, because I talked to a lot of them before the draft, they were looking at McNeil, Murphy, and Biggs. And there was no, you know, JT Miller was kind of, and people were not upset about the pick. They just weren't really informed about the pick. So, you know, and plus everybody had some beers in them, so they weren't, you know, they were just glad they were, you know, we got the Yale Rangers. But do you think this Murphy pick might have been better or not? I mean, you know, he dropped.
Not one. Murphy didn't make sense. Delzato, you know what? Delzato, I think, is going to show up, and I'll give you about a million reasons why. If he goes to Hartford last year of his contract, he's making $65,000. If he plays in the Rangers, he's making up to $1.1 million, and the Rangers have to qualify him at that much for a new contract. Do the math, Eddie. $1.1 minus $65,000. If I'm Michael Delzato, and I know the kid, you're going to have to kill him to send him to the AHL this year. He knows what's at stake.
Yeah, it's been reported that he's really amped up, and certainly the monetary desire to improve is going to be there, and you know, and I think it is going to happen. I would like him to start out in the A and prove that he can play, and then come and be a Ranger. I'm not one of these guys that's down on him. We get a lot of people who call in and then visit the show who want to malign him, and I just try to he's a young guy who missed his last year at juniors and may have a little bit of learning to do on and off the ice. But I see talent there. I saw it in the first 30 games he played in his rookie year. It's there. So
just,
again, me and Jess are agreeing, Jim.
You know why he wears number 4? You know why he wears number 4?
Bobby Orr.
You know who his agent is?
I don't have no idea who his agent is.
Bobby Orr.
Wow.
I think we talked about that once.
Really?
And who do you think is going to be probably working with him this off season?
His Aunt Patty.
Yeah. No, God, like the box boy over at Larry's Deli.
Larry's Deli is getting a lot of plugs tonight.
Hey, they got a special on corned beef. Come on down and get a pickle.
Well, I know he may be working with Barb Underhill, I heard, maybe. That was a little rumor, too, that he may work there. Listen, I don't root against anybody. A lot of these Ranger fans, they like to root against the players. I root for everybody, especially these young kids. This is a whole new realm we're in as a Ranger fan. You know it, Jess. I mean, you knew. You've been following prospects for a long time. But, you know, the Ranger fan has got to get used to development and not giving up and not getting on guys just because it's not all, you know, roses the first year they're playing, you know?
Yeah. Here's two truths that Ranger fans don't like to hear. Truth number one is they have asked for every free agent, with the exception of Redden, Bashir, and Bugard. They've asked for them. Sather has gotten them. And then they blame Sather. Guess what? You guys wanted them. Sather got them. Sather traded for Yager. You wanted them. The other thing, too, is you know why the people weren't happy with Miller? Is because Gordy Clark did it to him again. Gordy Clark picked somebody that nobody was thinking of. He does it every year. He did it to me, Eddie. I talked to the guy. I talked to the guy for an hour and a half. And he told me, he basically told me what to look for. And here I am sitting there going, oh, McNeil, Biggs, Miller.
Right.
So, I mean, Clark is a great guy. I mean,
he's an asset. And I love the fact that he has the final say on everything pertaining to the draft.
Oh, God.
One thing that you've got to say about Glenn Sather, he at least has the brains enough to give the guy who knows what he's doing full and, you know, full power. So I give kudos to him.
Since Tom Reddy rebuilt the thing, have you really looked at the names on the Rangers scouting and player development and their staff? Do you know the Rangers have four former National Hockey League general managers working for them? Barnett,
yeah.
Yeah.
Who
Tommy
was involved
Thompson.
With
Tommy
Phoenix.
Thompson, Minneapolis. Oh, read that guy at the Hockey News. He's a great blogger. He works part-time for the Rangers. Tommy Thompson. He was with the Wild. Anders Hedberg, Ottawa and Toronto. You know? Then
right.
Jeff Gordon. Jeff Gordon's the guy that drafted the 2000 class for Boston. You know, Daniel Dorr, when they fired Gordon, they fired him. Glenn Sather scooped both of them up. The Rangers have probably the most experienced scouting staff in the entire NHL right now. It used to be three people. The staff is up to 20, you know. And like Sather or not, he goes on the road. He goes to Europe. And he looks at these kids, too. You get 20 eyes on the prospects now instead of they used to be just six.
Well, that's certainly good to hear, and, you know.
You know,
and I think it will. It's going to pay dividends. We just got to be a little bit more patient. So we may see some this year.
Yeah.
We've already seen getting McDonough and the Gomez deal. They certainly knew McDonough's capability in that steal, and you're seeing that paying dividends. We see with Stepan how you know he is. You know, had a tremendous rookie season. You're seeing it. My last question, I guess, to you is this. When Glenn Sather was with the Edmonton Oilers, he was known for one of the first guys to go, you know, for the Europeans. Jari Kurri, you know, what have you. And now it seems like they're really weighing heavily on the U.S.-based prospects. Do you think that's something they're trying to tap into earlier than maybe other clubs?
No, actually, I think it's more of the fact that Clark, Sather, Gordon, Risebrough, they're actually basically recreating the Edmonton Oilers, you know. The Oilers, people thought because of Gretzky and Curry was a fancy skating, smooth team. Oh, no. The Oilers had guys like Graves and Bukaboom. They were a hard-hitting, clean-hitting team that beat on you. And you look at look how Boston won the Stanley Cup. They kept hitting and hitting and hitting and hitting and hitting and hitting. And by game seven, Vancouver couldn't do a thing. And that's what, you know, Gordy Clark, who spent 10 years with Boston, and Jeff Gordon, who spent 15 years with Boston, built. And that's what the Rangers have got coming. I mean, look at it. McElrath, you saw him. Man, I'll tell you what. Don't call him the Undertaker. His name is the Truck. And he's gonna roll all over you. Forget Ice Road Truckers. Meet the Moose Jaw Trucker. And he's a wonderful kid.
And I can't wait to see him, and you know, and lay all this Cam Fowler nonsense to rest. Because I think once the Ranger fan sees McElrath crushing people, they're gonna say Cam who?
The first time somebody hits Henrik Lundqvist or even looks at him with McElrath on the ice, that will be the last time anybody talks about Cam Fowler. That's space. You know, McElrath knows what his job is going to be. And I'll tell you what, you got to see the shot. You've got to see the shot. I have seen people having to limp off the ice after getting hit by his shot. It's a cannon. It's heavy. It's low. It's heavy. It hurts.
Wow. I'm telling you.
And that's the part.
If I knew all this, I would have told him. I said, I heard your shot. My friend just says your shot is killing people when it hits them on the ankles.
You'll see him. He's going to probably spend a lot of time in New York. When you see him, you know, seriously, when you see him, ask him which nickname he prefers. He's going to tell you Truck. And this Undertaker stuff he doesn't like. And he's 6'5", 220. I kind of think I'm going to let him call himself whatever he wants.
Okay, Jess. Well, thank you so much for joining us. I always have fun with you, man. And you always are so gracious to give your time out to me, you know, whether I'm on Facebook or we're doing the show. And you're just, you're a class act, my friend.
You know what? It comes on. Like I told Jim earlier, the people that showed me how to evaluate prospects, the only thing they told me to do is do the same thing. God bless E.J. McGuire. Rest his soul. What a great man. We lost a great man when he died so young of cancer. And you know what? Let's give the Rangers a hand. For what they did for Bugard.
Yes,
that's well done.
I was telling Jim when I talked to him this afternoon that I actually got a, I'm very, let's put it, vociferous in my opinion, especially after drinking some beers. And at the bar, I was sitting next to the Rangers PR guy, and when they did the Bugard thing, I said, I can't believe that. I said, this is such a classy move from such a classless organization.
You know whose idea that was?
Who?
Sather.
What? You know, I've got to stop. I think, Jim, we got to stop with the Sather bashing until the free agencies go.
I'll tell you what. this is my own experience. Glenn Sather, the hockey GM, is one thing. But Glenn Sather, the human being, is a wonderfully great guy who believes in people getting a second chance in life, who basically will put in a good word for you. If you knew how many times my backside got chewed out on the road because, you're one of those New York media guys. Well, let me tell you something. Glenn Sather this, Glenn Sather that. Glenn Sather is why I have this job. Man, and I even got to know his son, Shannon. And you know what? I don't like what he does with free agents, but I got to stick tap him for being a human being.
Oh yeah, he certainly. I think it was after. Was it after 9/11? Stuff he did in New York City. I mean, he's certainly outstanding human being. It's just sometimes in sports you disagree with your GM and. I know, it's just sports when you boil down to it, and he's a great human being. And so are you.
Yeah.
So
you know what? You know what, Eddie? Before we run, get a hold of me on Facebook or whenever you and I can chat. There's a couple of things I'd like to really just you and me talk about. Jim, same thing, because the Rangers have got such a negative perception by too many. And, you know, it's a shame, because if people saw the real side of the Rangers, there'd be more reason to be proud of that blue uniform.
Oh, well, I look forward to that. And
you guys,
I guess...
Anytime, anywhere, you just say it, I'll be there.
Sounds good.
All right. Great Jess Rubenstein.
You guys have a great one. Thank you, fans of Blue Shirt Banner, for reading, supporting. You guys are the ones that make me keep going when I'd rather just take a night off. Thank you so very much.
Well, thank you, Jess. Thanks. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Take care, guys.
You
take
too.
Care.
Later.
Well, there you have it, Jimmy boy. How'd you do while I was not on? Was it did you find that the show had great pace, or was it
No, of course I was. It went.
Did you miss me?
Well, I did, of course, but it went better than I thought it would. Jess was about 10 minutes early, which made it a lot easier, because I just, as soon as I saw he was on, I put him right on. And fucking Newman calls me, you know, he's out at Eva's party, and Claude gets on the phone. I love Claude, don't get me wrong, but like, he's drunk. They're all drunk. They're all yelling and screaming in the background. And, you know, like, everybody's trying to talk about the draft, and it was like, hey, how's it going, Jimmy? We're all out here partying. I'm like, oh, God. From the party, but at least he wanted to talk about the draft. He didn't, you know.
Did he give an update on the draft?
Well, we talked. He was at least, you know, Claude was just calling on Newman's phone to tell me how drunk he was. Costa was actually calling to talk about the Rangers and the draft, and, you know. So.
I love your Facebook thing, how me and you are going to get married the next week.
So, all right, brother, how was the graduation party? Good?
Yeah, it was pretty good. The feats were good. The conversation pretty good. It was good.
I made it back early.
Yeah, so am I.
So.
And, I will. I'm going to listen to the podcast later, and maybe I'll give you a call tomorrow.
Okay, sounds good. I'll be around.
Okay, take care, man.
Talk to you later. You too. Bye.